This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
My favorite jersey is the one that says Larry and Stafford on the back. What's going on, Larry?
What's going on, Sean and Seth? Hey, let me before I get to Deshaun, let me say this. Hey, Seth, on that Kenyon Green deal where we're watching him struggle and everything, I've said this before, and I'm okay with some of the struggles that he has because I believe that in the long run he's going to be able to benefit from it having gone through it because he's played some monster dudes. And I don't think – and this is one of the things that happened in the National Football League. Like, when these guys get drafted high, people start questioning whether they're bust or whatever. And Kenyon Green's only played 10 games in the National Football League against grown men. And I don't think he's not getting coached by Warhop. I think that the offensive line coach over there is probably doing a good job. I just think that center and McCants and all those other guys that are just guys over there, when you got Titus and you got Green and you got Laramie, that those are hallmarks that you can put an offensive line together. But if your center is getting pushed back into your quarterback's lap, man, that is a recipe for disaster. And I can't remember the guy who was the center that quit at the beginning of the season or had some kind of –
Justin Britt.
Well, yeah, Justin Britt. But I think that has hurt Kenyon Green more than anything because if you had some kind of veteran that was at that position, like Chris Myers or somebody, I think that would have been a better opportunity for Green not to struggle because I don't think Laramie is giving him enough of the protection or enough of the oomph to be able to do that. It needed to be somebody at that center position. So I'm going to hold off on Kenyon Green. But real quick on Deshaun. You're right, Sean, he ain't going to throw no 30 passes in his game, but he going to boat raid our ass when they do that bootleg because I'm going to tell you something. That's what he's good at, and that's what we're weak at. So they're going to put him in a position with Chubb and all them other boys to be able to run that football and get out of here with a win. I'm just happy to be able to see him play football again because I like talent, and I like dudes that play football at a high level. And I think these 2 years off has given Deshaun enough of an opportunity to get healthy. His legs are going to be fine, and he's going to come into Houston. He don't give a damn about all the stuff that's going on around in the stadium. It's only going to be 25, 27,000 folks there probably, so he could care less about that. He's going to be trying to get on track because he still has an opportunity to win the AFC North. Sean, before I let you go, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If the Texans came out of the draft with Bryce Young, Addison from USC or Quentin Johnson and Bijan Robinson from Texas, you'd call that a success, right?
Absolutely.
That's exactly what Nick Caserio needs to figure out how to do to put some offense on that field and use free agency to go get the D tackles and all that other stuff because it's about offense. And if you're going to draft a quarterback, give him some weapons to go along with Damon Pierce and let us get this thing on track in our hall.
Larry, appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I did one of those little mock drafts that you can do online where you act like a GM for an hour or so sitting there making trades. And they're fun. They're fun little simulators. When I came away with the one where I had Bryce Young with the first pick, Quentin Johnston with the other first-round pick, and Bijan Robinson with the first pick of the second round, I needed some alone time looking at that draft. I did a nice job on that. Would get me very excited. It would also fit that narrative from last year where anytime they took somebody with any ties to the state of Texas, Lovey was like, of course he's got ties to the state of Texas, which we love. So you'd have a TCU
guy. About it
yeah, TCU and a UT guy if they went that route.
Yeah. That's the glow of that is worn off. Just give me football players. I don't know which more likely to come from Texas or California or Florida. But I'm over any of the feel good from the off season. The whole Lovie Smith in the ticket office and everything. That's cool. You can get up in the film room. Okay.
Yeah.
You get up and you grind some film.
Stop being chippy in press conferences.
I thought it was awesome in the spring. Now I've turned into. Couldn't you be spending that time getting better as a football coach?
It was a matter of time. Yeah. Tax Act Texas Bowl tickets. Let's give them away here. The excitement of the Texas Bowl. 2022 coming to you. We'll know who the teams are this weekend. We'll find out this weekend. Big 12 in the SEC, but we want you to be there. Get tickets. If you're hoping to catch college football action in person, call now. Caller number 5-713-572-4610 is going to win a 4-ticket party pack to this year's Tax Act Texas Bowl on December the 28th, featuring an exciting matchup between soon-to-be-determined teams from the Big 12 and the SEC. Huge history of intense rivalries. It's a fun bowl game and a fun time. Caller number 5 wins those tickets. All right. Also, if you want to dive deeper into Sunday's matchup with the Browns, the latest Utopia football podcast is out. John and I preview the Texans and the Browns. We do a little for real or fugazi. I read some sentences to John, and he tells me if I'm crazy or not. What I learned in For Real or Fugazi yesterday is that he shares the same disdain for Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer that Seth Payne does. Yeah.
Oh, good. Now, the actual character or the movie?
The movie.
Yeah, the movie, the claymation movie.
Yeah. He is, because he thought, at first when I said For Real or Fugazi, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is a holiday treasure or is a holiday staple to be treasured, For Real or Fugazi. He goes, I guess for real, you know, it's a song and you hear it a lot. I said, no, John, the movie with the claymation characters. Fugazi.
It's awful.
He hates it. Yeah.
You know what? And our listeners reminded me it was the Davey, I think, was the name of the TV show that was like, it was Davey and.
David and Goliath, yes.
Oh, it was Davey and Goliath?
Davey and Goliath, yes. The dog's name, the talking dog, was Goliath.
Oh, so the kid wasn't shooting his dog in the head with a slingshot every show.
I missed that episode. But yeah,
it's what your parents used to do back in the day, kids. Mm-hmm. But that was an awful one too. I felt like that turned more people away from religion than attracted it. I think it was
created a generation of agnostics.
I actually enjoyed going to church as a young child, but that Davy and Goliath show made me a doubter.
Yes. Young Seth, why are you an atheist now? Have you watched this show?
No God would ever allow a show like that on my television
with a talking
on a
dog.
Saturday morning.
That's right. Yeah. It was a bad show. All right. The Astros offseason in full swing. They've got meetings set up with free agents that are going to get people excited. This would be, though, the ultimate heat check next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday.
Who are you? It looked like you were angrily texting somebody.
No, I'm not angrily texting. I'm texting. I was actually texting Mattress Mac.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Not angrily texting.
Why are you angry with Texas?
I'm not angry. I knew we were coming back from break, and I'm texting, and
I thought maybe you had lost a couch on a high school football game or
turn
something.
Turn some knobs.
That's bad advice.
No, I don't bet against Mattress Mac. No. Okay. I was sending him the games that we're going to do for Max Picks this week. It's kind of a light schedule because it's just conference title week in college football.
Yeah.
But there's a few games I think he would be interested in.
You call it like light schedule, Sean. I call it every game still matters.
Judgment
like
Day.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Every game matters for more teams now. Every game used to matter for like an increasingly smaller number of teams, where now every game matters every single week for every team. All 64 teams that will be in the playoffs.
Eventually.
Yes, as it should be.
So I was listening to the afternoon show yesterday, and admittedly, I came in at the end of this segment when I was listening, but it sounded to me like there was an argument going on about whether or not the Astros should sign Cody Bellinger to a one-year deal to play either center field. Well, I guess it would be to play center field because they've got a first baseman now with Jose Abreu.
Yeah.
Who do you think was on which side of signing Cody Bellinger? Noted Astros hater and fake news mongerer.
Oh.
Cody Bellinger.
Oh, okay. So I thought you were saying either Lopez or Landry was one of those
guys. It was the afternoon show. No. Clinton show. Yeah.
I thought you were saying that either Clint or show was the hater and the Astros hater and the fake news person.
No, Bellinger.
Yeah, Bellinger, the fake news dispenser. Bellinger ran with like YouTube conspiracy theories. Like there was this conspiracy theory that based on a BS video that Altuve had gone into the dugout and changed his jersey. Like this, that's why it wasn't just Cody Bellinger speaking out the loudest about the being better than everybody else scandal. It was that he was just dead wrong in what he was saying about it.
Do you want to play a little bit of the audio just to set the scene? And then I want you to guess who was on what side of the argument on the afternoon show. Here was Cody Bellinger back in 2020 after the Astros were punished for being better than everybody else.
Altuve stole an MVP from Judge in 17. Everyone knows they stole the ring from us. Everyone in the show, in the big leagues, lost respect for those guys. What human hits a walk-off home run against Aroldis Chapman to send your team to the World Series? One has the thought to say, don't rip my jersey off. But two, go in the tunnel makes zero sense to me. Because I know me. I sent my team the World Series off for Aroldis Chapman in the ninth inning at home. You can do, I'm going crazy.
Yeah, you can. He basically said, you can do whatever I've been asking you guys to do to me all year long. And my fantasies of we have a big old,
you can have your
big
way.
Old playground right out there. We'll bring everybody in. Just give me a baggie or something and I'll be happy. I think that Show thought that it was cool to bring Cody Bellinger in.
Bingo, ding, ding, yeah.
Show hasn't had to live through the whole ordeal. He hasn't had to he hasn't felt things the way we've felt things, you know.
Plus, Clint is an actual former professional athlete. I feel like Cody Bellinger is violating a lot of the ethos of the athlete. You know, the locker room thing. You know,
well,
like,
yeah, I have a feeling that Cody Bellinger's Dodgers teammates had to tell him to shut the hell up.
Right.
Because, you know, like what Evan Gaddis said was like, listen, look, we know stuff that you guys have done on various teams too, so you might want to zip it, you know? Okay. And I think some of Cody Bellinger's teammates were probably like, hey, Cody, just back off a little bit, buddy. By the way, Cody, if I could tell you, would you be speaking up so much right now, Cody, if I could tell you that from this moment forward, after you're talking all this smack, you're going to be barely a 200 hitter. And which he's been. He's been a 190 hitter over the last two seasons, or 170.
Literally the lowest OPS of any hitter over the last 2 years with at least 900 plate appearances.
Yeah.
Lower than Martin Maldonado.
So Cody Bellinger, who's been atrocious at baseball, he was good in the playoffs in the World Series. Like, I'll give him that. But possibly because of his shoulder issues, which he got in the dumbest way possible, by high-fiving somebody. Sean, you can't send somebody to the Astros who got injured high-fiving somebody when the Astros are managed by the person who invented the high-five.
That's a great point.
It's the best point.
Yeah.
And it was an aberration of the high-five, too. He did that shoulders, the elbow lock thing. Instead of the actual high five. So he was spitting in Dusty Baker's face as he was disrespecting the high five, which Dusty Baker invented.
Invented, yes.
Not going to bring him in here. So he is, you know what? I was wrong, Sean. I think I said he was a 209 hitter for the last three seasons. A 203 hitter.
Oh, my God. You were giving him way too much credit. Yeah.
So since Cody Bellinger spouted off about Altuve, he has hit 203.
Mm.
Karma. 203.
Karma, bitch. Yeah.
He's a 203 hitter. Listen, everybody. You know, usually we don't – batting average doesn't matter as much as it used to. It matters when you're hitting 203.
Yeah.
Okay? Especially when you're a former NL MVP.
I think it's an interesting angle you bring up that maybe even his Dodger teammates were like, bro, shut the hell up. Because a lot of people have been skeptical about the Dodgers bringing Carlos Correa into the building over there because of how – outspoken he was against Cody Bellinger. But what I'm hearing from you might be, yeah, Carlos, that what Carlos said here might actually make him popular in the Dodgers clubhouse.
I mean, he either doesn't know how to read, is really bad at reading comprehension, or is just not informed at all. What doesn't sit well with me is when you say false statements. If you don't know the facts, if you're not informed, Cody Bellinger's job is to look for information, get informed, know the facts for sure, before he stands in front of cameras to talk about other players. You should get informed. You should be informed before you talk about other players. If you don't know the facts, then you got to shut the
So what I'm hearing, Seth, you say is, in a way, Carlos Correa might be welcomed into the Dodger clubhouse as a conquering hero.
He might, yeah. Like, oh, yeah, boy, we loved it when you shut Cody Bellinger up, because, man, he got annoying after a while. Cody and his talking and his...
And even more annoying when he couldn't hit. Even more when he couldn't hit, he became far more annoying. Like, Russell Wilson's annoying. He's really annoying now that he only has 8 touchdown passes to Bronco fans, I would imagine.
I'll be honest with you, though. It's pretty shocking just how... I don't know if there's a player like Cody Bellinger, maybe in history, and I'm including running backs in this, who were so good in his first 3 years, and then has just been awful since.
Crazy.
Then. 2020 was kind of crazy, like in a lot of ways. Like, he had a better OPS plus than he did anything else. But in the last 2 years, I'll give him 2020 and just say, like, all right, well, whatever, you write it off. But he's been even worse. His averages are even worse in 2021 and 2022 than they were in 2020. So he's in the last 2 years, he's batting 193. With a 611 OPS. That's really, really bad.
It's really bad. I'll be honest, Seth, if he had just kept his mouth shut and didn't have all these quotes and sound bites out there about what horrible people the Astros are and what cheaters they were and about Jose Altuve, like, if he had said none of those things and his body of work the last 2 years was what it was, really, if his body of work as a Major League Baseball player was what it was, because let's acknowledge he was the MVP of the National League in 2019. He has been among the best players in baseball at one point in his career. I would be all for the Astros signing him to a one-year prove-it deal. He's a good fielder in center field. He's a good athlete. The Astros, I think, are a team that it's mostly associated with their pitching, but I feel like they're a team that, in terms of just preparing their players, period, hitters or pitchers, they are elite. They might be able to get something out of Cody Bellinger, and a one-year deal is really low risk. I just don't want the guy around.
Sean, I've got a feeling that Cody Bellinger is right this moment, like, foraging through dark alleyways, talking to sketchy people, trying to ask somebody if he can score some sign stealing. Because I don't know. MLB cracked down big time on the video rooms and everything in 2019. And it's then that all of a sudden, like, oh, my shoulder hurts, and that's why I can barely hit a baseball. He's like, come on, give me some of the good stuff. Can you bang on something for
tell me,
man.
Tell me what they're throwing.
I'll
tell
do
me.
Anything, man.
Tell me.
Man, I'll do anything.
Tell
Just
me
give
what
me some
throwing.
Of that sign stealing, man. Anything.
Michael Schwab, who's pretty plugged in when it comes to the Astros, tweeted this yesterday, Seth. Quick list of free agent names the Astros have been tied to: Wilson Contreras, Brandon Nimmo, Michael Conforto, Andrew Benintendi, Cody Bellinger.
Yeah,
and then Brantley Yuli, and then a catcher by the name of Jorge Alfaro. So
the one thing
names.
I know, the one thing I know about Altuve that's different than Cody Bellinger is that Altuve is a fine human being, and I think that Altuve would probably be the first guy to be like, "Hey, bro, you're my teammate now," and no harm, no foul.
I think
whatever.
They'd welcome him in. I think the Astros are good like that. I think if they feel like he can help them win, and he doesn't act that way when he's an Astro, then they'd be cool with it. If he keeps talking trash about people with very janky information, then I think they're not gonna like him very much.
Will he learn? You know who's gonna hate him the most? Bregman.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
Bregman.
Maybe.
Bregman.
I don't know if I'll hate him the most, but he'll have the shortest fuse with him, I'll say.
Altuve will forgive and forget. Bregman will do neither. Bregman's not even going to say, like, hey, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. Like, Bregman will do neither. And then he'll do nothing but speak Spanish in front of Cody Bellinger. And shut him out of conversation. He'll do that. He'll make fun of Cody Bellinger in Spanish.
What about what about McCullers, real quick?
Yeah, same thing.
McCullers, I think those are the two you probably need to win over if you're Cody Bellinger,
that's
right?
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true,
yep,
yeah.
Yep.
I feel like those guys would hold the grudge the most.
All right.
They operate well with chips on their shoulders.
They do. And, yeah. And Cody Bellinger, wherever he plays, should have a chip on his shoulder this year, or at least
why,
feeling...
So it can signify him what pitch is coming? Because that's the only thing that seems to work, I guess.
Maybe.
Only the era Sign Stealing was good for Cody Bellinger.
True. Hey, it's not just Deshaun Watson returning this weekend, back-to-back days. Maybe not Monday's not the weekend, but Sunday and Monday, we get the return of maybe the two most reviled backstabbers in the last 3 years. Deshaun, tail of the tape. Deshaun versus backstabber number two is next.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
It was just within days of each other back in early 2021 that James Harden and Deshaun Watson both requested trades. Now Harden's was much more public, and his display trying to get out of here was far more, I think, more deplorable than Deshaun's. I'm putting aside all the things that Deshaun had to deal with legally. I'm just talking about purely with their teams. You know, James Harden showed up fat, decided not to shoot the basketball in games.
He did. He went there, man.
I think if Deshaun were forced to have played part of 2021 while the Texans were trying to trade him at the deadline or something, he would have gone out and played hard. Like, Deshaun would have been in shape. Football is just a much more dangerous sport. You can't afford to let up, especially at that position, and not risk injury or risk your teammates getting injured. Basketball is just a different deal. But James Harden's coming back to Toyota Center as well on Monday with the Sixers. Now, I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at the schedule. Harden has been back to Toyota Center since he was traded to the Nets. I don't recall if he's been here in a Sixers uniform yet. He got traded at the trade deadline last year. Either way, the two of them return within 24 hours of each other, just a couple of years after both requesting trades within literally hours of each other as well. So, Seth, I thought this would be good, maybe a little tale of the tape as to what the reactions might be, or maybe who was more justified in their desire to want out, and to sort of reset the table on that. We like to use audio. Here was the last noteworthy cut that we got from Deshaun Watson as a Houston Texan. This happened the day after the season ended in 2021. We know that 2 days later, Nick Caserio was reported to be the GM, and within hours of that, it was reported that Deshaun Watson wanted a trade. Here was Deshaun Watson's final, most memorable cut on his assessment of where the Texans were as an organization at the time.
We just need a whole culture shift. We just need new energy. We need discipline. We need structure. We need a follower or a leader so we can follow that leader as players. And that's what we need. And, you know, we got to have, you know, the love of just not just the game of football, because that's what we do, but the love for people and the people in this organization. We all got to be on the same page. There's too many different minds and too many different ideas and too many people thinking that they have this power, and it's not like that. You know, we need someone that stand tall, and this is who we follow, and this is the way it goes. Like I said yesterday after the game, and we're going to do it this way to win.
That cut hits harder now than it did the day he said it because of what the last couple of years have been like.
Right. Well, and that's where, you know, I'd said earlier, you know, who knows, maybe if they hadn't fired Bill O'Brien until the end of the season, that maybe it wouldn't have felt like such a rudderless ship to Deshaun Watson. There were still going to be a pile of problems in form of at least a couple dozen lawsuits to come. You know, but even there, I don't know, maybe not. Maybe it would have been handled differently if Deshaun hadn't felt like he was out on the city of Houston, too. So I think that it was – at that moment, though, yeah, it felt – it. The thing with Deshaun was at that time, in that moment, it felt understandable why he felt that way, including after he asked for the trade. Whereas with Harden, so much of what was wrong was of his own creation.
Yep.
You know, him not being able to get along with Chris Paul, him wanting to bring in Russell Westbrook. They bent over backwards for James Harden, and then all of a sudden he was upset. He basically was upset that they had bent over backwards for him, and it didn't work out.
Absolutely. Let's reset that. Here was James Harden back in January of 2021 after a blowout loss to the Lakers, who were the defending champs at the time. Here was James Harden in his press conference.
We're just not good enough. You know, we don't obviously chemistry, talent wise, just everything. And it was clear, like I said, these last few games, they just, you know, from the beginning of the game, they were just aggressive, veteran team, obviously, championship team, and, you know, one of the best teams that we have in this league. You know, I love this city. I literally, you know, I've done everything that I can. You know, I mean, this situation is crazy. You know, it's something that I don't think can be fixed. So, yeah, thanks.
And he just gets up and walks out. he just got up and walked out. Seth, I 100% agree with what you just said. If the question is who is more justified in wanting out, and the reason we're bringing this up is because DeShaun comes back to NRG Stadium on Sunday. James Harden, reportedly, he's been injured. But it sounds like he's going to play Monday, or at least he's forecasted to, against the Rockets. I'm 100% with you. James Harden, they gave him the keys to the building. And from about the time they traded for Chris Paul on, all the big moves were done with a rubber stamp from James Harden. They gave him all kinds of power. The trade, the going and getting of Chris Paul was going to be a signing. It turned into a trade. That was something James Harden wanted. And then when James Harden soured on Chris Paul after 2 years and Chris Paul's brand of leadership, James Harden said, okay, we'll trade him to OKC and let's get my guy Russ here. And Russ got here and quickly realized, oh, wow, James sure has a lot of power, and this isn't really working behind the scenes all that well with James having all this power. I need out of here, too. Like, Russ wanted out of here shortly after he got here.
Right.
So yeah, like, if I... Who's more justified in wanting out? I think it would be DeShaun, because they were not being well run at the time, and obviously issues with Easterby and things like that DeShaun may or may not have had. If you're asking me who gets booed more at their game Sunday or Monday, ironically now I think it's going to be DeShaun because of all the other stuff that's happened since then.
Right, it just became DeShaun kept every step along the way, and I was trying to explain this to a Cleveland host the other day. People were so troubled by the dysfunction within the Texans organization at the time that DeShaun asked for a trade that the majority of Texans fans were actually like sympathetic to his trade request, at least. They got it. And like I was surprised by it. We did enough polls of our listeners and elsewhere that it felt like, yeah, the majority of fans were actually on DeShaun's side because they felt like they wanted change in the organization as well. But, like, each step along the way, from obviously the allegations to then the way he conducted himself in training camp, but then especially, and I think the final straw for a lot of people, even if they were inclined to be sympathetic to him on his allegations or anything, was when you got the sense that, oh, DeShaun is the obstacle to this trade here because he's holding things up and he wants to be Goldilocks and have his porridge just right. And after the trade deadline that fall, then it really felt like, okay, everybody was just, all right, man, whatever. Now you're just screwing us. You can't just facilitate a trade. And it also, at the time, where you and I started to get wind of in the summer was that he was also trying to get more money out of the deal too.
Yep.
It wasn't just trying to get traded. That he was trying to get more money as well as get traded after he had just done the deal last year. That's when it felt to me like, all right, dude, what? Come on.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Like, I try to be open to guys holding out, all that stuff. It's a business. The owners treat it more like a business than the players do. So I always get it when the players try to conduct it like a business. But that was just, that's not business.
No. That's just slime. That's, as Landry would say, that's slime ball material for sure.
Yeah.
You and I were saying it, like, that week where those four teams were lobbying for DeShaun's services, where they were vying to be the, you know, to get the final rose, so to speak, with DeShaun. I mean, the spectrum or the prism that you and I were looking at it through was, okay, which owner has the want to and the wherewithal to give Deshaun the most money because that's and I think I was saying Dave Tepper of Carolina. So I was wrong about the team, but we were right about the spirit of what Deshaun's issue was ultimately, which was I'm going to go get paid.
Yeah,
and he did.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of bootlicking media types out there that will insist that it wasn't about going to the team that offered him way more money than everybody else. Yeah. So,
okay. Hey, let me ask you this. Then you're stupid. Like, I don't know what to
say. I really don't want to go there. Well, what if we offered you $80 million than more guaranteed than even the next several quarterback contracts will be?
Yeah, that's, like, that's how stupid the contract was. That, and I say stupid. Look, it might work out. If Cleveland wins the Super Bowl, they'll be thrilled with the contract. I say stupid just in terms of crazy that none of the other quarterback contracts that have been signed since then by quarterbacks who are viewed as that same level as Deshaun have come even close to it in terms of guaranteed money. They've all been Aaron Rodgers money. They haven't been Deshaun Watson money. Let me ask you this. You got to bet $1,000 on either Deshaun Watson or James Harden to win a title first. Who are you putting the $1,000 on?
Let's see. Right now, the 76ers are about 24-1 to win the NBA championship.
Yep.
How much longer is he? Is this a one-year? What did he do?
He signed a short-term
deal.
The idea. I mean, it was team-friendly, so they could do some things. The idea is he's going to stay there.
Yeah, I think because he is James Harden in the NBA. Where even seemingly when guys start to get all old, all of a sudden they're new again. I'd say just as a sheer numbers game, the NBA. James Harden.
Yeah.
James Harden, a better chance at winning.
I would agree with you. Yeah, he's got a 2-year deal, I guess. Green means it's a player option maybe for the second year. So whatever. I would just say Harden because in basketball, let's pretend that Harden he's at the end of his prime right now.
Yeah.
As Deshaun, as a quarterback of a team, let me back up. It's really hard to win a championship in either sport. So there's a good chance neither of them win a title. That's number one. Number two is in the NBA, James Harden can just climb onto some contender as their sixth man when he's 36 years old and win a championship. You can't do that as a quarterback. Like you're the focal point as a quarterback.
And he's already shown that he's, willing and capable of going on to a team where he's not the alpha and whatever's left him there. Like he'll try to find the right situation.
Yep.
If it's not with the 76ers in the next 2 years, at some point he could.
Speaking of Russell Wilson, how bad has Russell Wilson been this season? The TV networks spoke up as to how bad Russell Wilson has been.
Oh, man.
Yesterday. Yeah.
Oh, come on, TV networks. Can't you cut old Russ a break?
If I had said this before the season, you would have said, no, Sean, you're crazy. No, Russell Wilson caused this. I'll tell you what it is next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.